You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to Psalms 103. You know, we taught Psalms 121 Sunday morning and talked about the Lord as our strength. Our strength comes from the Lord, amen. And I just love the Psalms. I mean, I could just take the Psalms. It would be a great study. Just take the Psalms and just teach one Psalm every week. Of course, we got Psalms 119. We had to slow it down a little bit. Are you with me? Probably break it down to about five sessions. But, you know, I mean, the Psalms are just so, they're so rich. They're just so full of praise and worship and, you know, and it's just in honesty. I mean, they're in the Psalms. You see sometimes David and some of the different psalmists crying out in their anguish and their pain. But they'd always come back around by the end of the psalm. They'd get back in faith again, you know, and they'd say, oh, God, deliver me, you know. They'd start out, why is all this happening? Lord, you've forsaken us. You've done this. You've done this. I'm in pain. I'm hurting. My soul cries out. But by the time they ended it, they got back in faith. And that's kind of the way life is. Sometimes we get in the flesh and, you know, we start singing, oh, woe is me, you know. And but if you stay on your knees long enough, stay in the Word long enough, you'll begin to realize God's not your problem. He's your answer. He really loves you. And so the Psalms are real honest, they're real personal. Are you with me?
Yes,
and their insights into some of their lives when they wrote these things in anguish and pain. Anybody ever hurt?
Yeah.
Everybody felt like you were being picked on? Sure. You ever felt like God forsook you? Hello?
Yeah.
Sure, you felt that way. Now, of course, you know better if you know the Word. He hasn't forsaken you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so we learn a lot from this. In fact, I would encourage you not to do the first part of some of those Psalms. Just jump to the last of them and go for that. It was written there for our benefit. Are you with me? And when you feel that way, realize, especially when you read some of these Psalms, realize that God is our help. He's not our problem. He's not the one we're hitting our head up against the wall. God doesn't slap us and heal us all at the same time. Not breaking our legs and healing our legs, you know, and causing a problem, solving a problem. King divided against self cannot stand. Jesus is the one that said that. He said, if Satan rises up against Satan, he hath an end. He said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And that was in response to them accusing him of casting the devil out in the name of Beelzebub, the devil.
Amen.
Woo! Okay. Having said that, Psalms 103, got it? Boy, this is a good one. Y'all ready for this? Are you really ready? Okay, I just want to make sure. This is good. This is pretty good now. It's a good psalm. This is a pattern you see throughout the psalm. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless. We ought to bless God. We ought to praise Him. That means worship Him, praise Him, put blessings on Him, honor Him, and so on and so forth. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. This is like a command, really, in one sense. A command, an admonition, and a call to join this psalmist as he blesses God. You bless him too. Let's bless him together. Amen?
Amen.
Let's praise him. Let's worship him. And we ought to live a life of worship and blessing God, worshiping God. How much time do you consider what God's done in your life during the day? How much time do you stop and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, I thank you. Oh, you're so good to me.
Amen.
Often we don't do that. We don't do it as much as we should, I know. But this is a call to us to do this, a call, a command, and a charge to do this. You know, you ought to learn, you know, some of these songs, like the choruses to some of these songs, or over the years songs you picked up about worship, that ought to be the thing that you sing during the day. I know I do. I do it all the time. If I'm working or whatever I'm doing, I'll start singing one of those songs or talking to myself, you know, to the Lord by myself. I do my best singing by myself, incidentally. Hello. And these psalmists, or these psalms, were sung. They were praises. That's what psalms means, praises. In fact, many of the songs we sing are just parts of the psalms. Hello, just personalized or modernized, as it were. You know, church goes through stages on singing. I remember at Lakewood, when we first started going to Lakewood in the mid-70s. Goodness, I can't hardly remember that far back. I was just a child. But in the mid-70s, when we started going to Lakewood, I don't know, hadn't been going that long as far as a full-blown Word of Faith charismatic church. They started out as a Baptist church. Brother Osteen got baptized in the Holy Ghost in 1958. And then, of course, it was Lakewood Baptist Church for years. And then a storm came through and blew the Baptist off the sign. And they just called it Lakewood Church. True story. Not making it up. And so they started Lakewood International. I think it was International Outreach. I think is what it was. Lakewood International Outreach, and then it became Lakewood International, then it became Lakewood Church. It went through some name churches, name changes. But when we were going there in the mid-70s, I mean, it just started exploding. I think they were running about close to 700 by that time. They had gone through a big building program at that time, and that was a large church in Houston at that time. And, of course, it never stopped growing. When we left in 82, they had about 5,000. Then by 88, they moved into an 8,000-seat auditorium. And, of course, now they're in a 16,000-seat auditorium, the old Compact Center in Houston. But at Lakewood, what they do, they used to sing, and they would just sing the Psalms. In fact, I remember the song leader at that time was Tom Love. Even you might remember Tom. They called him the Lakewood Leaper. That was his CB handle back then, back when CBs were big, you know. What's your handle? My handle? His was Lakewood Leaper, because he'd leap and sing, you know. And he would say, turn in your King James hymnal, you know, to a certain psalm or certain. We'd just sing that psalm. And a lot of our songs were that way. I remember I spoke one time at Rice University. Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a college education, but I've spoken a few of them. But I spoke on a class on religion. They wanted Brother Osteen. Brother Osteen sent me. And because I was so wise and so mature at that age, about 20, 21. And so, you know, I got there as a panel of all the major churches in Houston, major charismatic Pentecostal churches in Houston. And there was me and those big pastors. And it was a class on religion. They were asking questions about the charismatic movement, about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And anyway, I remember telling them when I was there that they asked about singing. I said, well, we just sing right out of the Bible. We sing the King James Version. That's what we sing. Of course, I could tell the students were getting all excited right now. What is that? Isn't it weird church. What is this? I said, we just take a psalm, we sing it. We take a psalm, we sing it. We preach out of the Bible. We live the Bible. We sing the Bible, you know. Anyway, we used to do that. In fact, this song, we used to sing this song. In fact, we sang it different ways, actually. One way we used to sing it here. You remember, bless the Lord, O my soul? Yeah. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, heals all your diseases. Y'all remember that? Who redeems your life from destruction, crowns thee with loving kindness. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. Oh, yeah, y'all remember that one, don't you? Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul and all that is within me. And then there was another way they used to sing it. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Remember that? And they'd sing that again. And then they'd go, he has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Oh, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord. Oh, yeah. Oh, my soul. Anyway, we'd sing the Psalms, you know, and a lot of songs have been written and actually weren't written. They just put music to it and took it right out of the Bible. So many of these Psalms were not just said or spoken. They were sang. They were sung out. Hello. They had some rhythm. They had some motion in their ocean. They had some unction. Amen? So when the psalmist said this, you could just imagine his heart in this thing. I mean, you just read through there, but you have to realize he was singing this out. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. In fact, that's why there's kind of a rhythm to it when you read it out even. It's real poetic because they were songs. But you say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. You know, I'm thinking Psalm 34, what does it say? I will bless the Lord at all times. That was a psalm also. We used to sing that one in Lakewood. I'll bless the Lord at all times. Bless the Lord at all times. Then his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. My soul shall boast in thee, Lord. My soul shall boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. You remember that? Anybody remember that song? That's just right. That's Psalms 34, first, second, and third verses, I believe is what that is. Psalms 100, yeah. Yeah. How's that go? Bless. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Remember that? That's Psalms. Hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, praise God. Hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, praise God. Okay, all right, y'all quit. You know, I talked about dancing. That's Psalms 30, verse 11. Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing for me. Y'all remember that one? Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing for me. Thou hast put off my sackcloth. Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing. Of course, back then we do this. Dancing for me. It was charismatic can-can. That's what we, you know, it's a little different than it is today. Thou hast girded me with gladness to the end that my glory may sing praise unto thee. And come on, get those feet up there. Be silent. You know, oh Lord my God, I will sing praise unto thee forever. Is that the, yeah. Okay, second verse. Let's get back to the scripture here. Yeah, let's please get off the ministry of singing here for a moment. But I mean, that's what we did. We used to sing songs. We just sing them all the time. And you know, you'd remember those verses. My Lord, I hadn't sing those songs in years. I mean, I'm just thinking, just saying it just comes to me when I start singing them, you know. Because it gets in you. What you sing and what you say over and over becomes a part of you. And we could, there's psalm after psalm we could talk about that we used to sing. And really, some of the songs we sing now, they have Scripture in them. You may not recognize it, but there's Scripture. Glory to God in the highest. Hello. That's why you need to get these things inside of you. Amen? Okay. You're still with me now? Okay. Those songs are coming 90 to nothing in my head right now. The second verse says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. You know why they bless God? They bless him for his benefits. They would bless him for what he's done. Even those songs we sang just a while ago, thou hast turned my mourning into dancing for me. Yeah. That they're blessing him for deliverance. I'll bless the Lord all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord. Let us exalt his name together. In Psalms 34, he would start listing all the good things God has done. They would start praising him for his goodness and for his greatness. It was a part of their worship. They didn't sing the blues in the Bible. Exodus 15, when they came out of the Red Sea, they crossed the Red Sea by dry land, they sang that song in the 15th chapter of Exodus, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider is thrown into the sea. We used to sing that song too. Y'all remember that one? I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider are thrown into the sea. Oh, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider is thrown into the sea. And then it goes, the Lord my God, my strength, my song. It's too high for me. How's that go? Has now become my victory. Hey, way up there, but anyway. It's an octave I can't get in. But they were singing for victory. They were singing for victory. Think about it. Even what we call the Magnificat, I think, when that's what they called that when Elizabeth, the cousin of Mary, Mary walked in to see her and the babe leaped in her womb. John the Baptist, 6 months in the womb of his mother, the babe leaped. She began to prophesy. And she says, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit doth rejoice in God my Savior. For he that is mighty has done great things. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Y'all remember that song? My soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit doth rejoice in God my Savior. For he that is mighty has done great things. And holy is his name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all of his benefits. See, if you're blessing and praising him, you don't forget his benefits. It's hard to be down when you're praising the Lord. It's hard to get down when you're that up. What are you doing down? Get up. Amen. How? Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank him. Praise him. Consider what he has done. And in so doing, give him glory. In fact, if you're going to thank God for anything, you have to think on something good to begin to thank him for. And when you start doing that, you'll bring yourself up out of the pit. You deliver yourself as from the hand of the fowler, as a deer from a snare. You know, the Bible tells you to deliver yourself in that sense. It's his power, it's his ability, it's his promise, but it's your choice. It's your choice to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. That's what Paul said in Philippians 4:4. So that's the New Testament telling us to rejoice. It's almost a command to do so. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. The reason we're down is because we're not joyful in the Lord. The reason we're not joyful in the Lord is because we're not praising Him. The reason we're not praising Him is because we're not thinking about all the good things that He has done. Hello? So if your focus is right, your thinking's right, it'll affect your praise, and your praise will affect your attitude, and your attitude will affect your altitude. I want to take you higher. That's not a scripture, but anyway, it's, you know, if you want to go higher, you're going to have to start praising Him. And you can get higher. High in God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Forget not all of His benefits. It's almost like there's a connection between blessing God and not forgetting. Amen? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. It's not like He's saying, bless the Lord, number one. Forget not all His benefits, number two. He's saying, bless the Lord, number one, and you will not forget His benefits.
Amen.
Say it another way. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and you will not forget all of His benefits. Does that make sense? Because in blessing and praising Him, you are reminding yourself of His benefits, of the goodness of God, of the mercy of God. His mercy endures forever. Whatever He did before, He'll do again. If He did it one time, He'll do it a second time, and a third time, and a fourth, and a fifth time.
Amen.
Father, I thank You for what You did, and I know You'll do it again.
Amen.
I thank You for Your deliverance. I thank You for Your goodness. I thank You for Your health. I thank You for Your strength. I thank You for Your peace. I thank You for the victory. Hallelujah. Man, you'll bring yourself right up out of a pit. You will praise yourself out of the thing. Not for the thing, out of the thing.
Amen.
Now, there's been some confusion with praise. Sometimes people get the idea that we're supposed to praise God for bad things. No, you praise God for, just like anybody, you praise God for what He does. You don't praise Him for what somebody else does.
Amen.
I wouldn't thank Ryan for cleaning my house. Or cooking my meal. Well, there are occasions that he will grill tilapia. It's real good, too. Over to his house, invite us over, and that's fine. And I always praise you when you do that, Ryan. But why would I praise Ryan for something Brenda does? Or praise Ryan for something Amanda does? Hello? Wouldn't that be kind of crazy? So why are you thanking God for your sickness? God didn't make you sick. Go thank the devil if you want to thank somebody. Hello? Lord, I thank You for this sickness. Don't thank Him. Go thank the devil. You want to thank somebody? Go thank the devil. And I personally don't want to thank Him for it because I don't think that's a good thing. I don't think you ought to be thanking somebody for something bad.
Amen.
Period. And I sure don't need to thank somebody that didn't even do it. Don't you thank Him for your salvation? Do you thank Him for everybody going to hell? How crazy would that be? How ridiculous that would be. I know I'm being crude, but think about it. Why would you thank God for people going to hell? You thank Him for being saved. You thank Him for salvation. Hell's not His will. That's the result of sin. Hello. People go there, sure, but that's not His will. That's not what He wants. That's not what He desires. That's only necessary because people will not accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And you can't be where God is if you don't accept God. So there's a place for everybody. God created a place called hell just for people who did not want to spend eternity with Him. He didn't want them there, but you've got to fence out people that are opposed to you. That's what penitentiaries are about. That's what jails are about. People who will not conform to society. There has to be a place for them because we can't have them running loose. Hello. But if you'll conform, you don't have to go there. And God made a way where nobody has to go to hell. If anybody goes to hell, it's their own choice. Ultimately, it's been said this way. Ultimately, in the end, it's going to be you saying, Lord, Thy will be done. Or it's going to be God saying to you, Your will be done. Okay. I chose to say God's will be done, which is salvation, and I got saved. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Praise God. In praising and worshiping Him, I will remember the benefits. And some of those are who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Yeah, we're coming up with new diseases today. Well, it doesn't matter. He heals all our diseases.
Amen.
Tell you the truth, we're coming up with some new sins too, but he'll forgive all your sins too. Amen? Anything you repent of, he'll forgive you of. Anything you come to him with, he'll heal you of. That's just our God. That's the way God is. Amen? That's who he is. Who redeems your life from destruction. Bless him. Bless him for destruction. No, bless him for redeeming your life from destruction. Bless him for sickness. No, bless him for healing you of your sickness. Bless him for sin in your life. You know, God put me through all that to teach me something. I'm glad God brought me through the dregs of sin and put me in that situation because that made something out of me. No, it didn't. It was taking you straight to hell. It was you calling on Jesus that got you out of that mess. Don't thank him for your wretched, miserable life. Thank him for salvation and healing and deliverance and forgiveness.
That's right.
Thank him that he got you out of that life. Thank him now that you can minister to people that are in that. But you, while you're in that, that wasn't God. That was the devil and your sin and your bad choices.
Amen.
Woo! You don't see that kind of talk in the Bible. You don't see people rejoicing, leaping, shouting, and praising God that they're about to die or they got sick or they lost their family. When do you see them leaping, shouting, and praising God? When they got healed of crippledness or blindness, when they were bent over and made straight, they glorify God. When they came up off a bed, they would leap, they would shout, they would praise God. Why? Because that's what God does. That's what God does. Are you with me? And the psalmists are not confused about the matter. When they talk about blessing God and praising God, it's always something miraculous, something good, something spectacular, something great. They don't thank God for problems, they thank God for answers. They don't thank God for battles, they thank him for victories. Yes. Woo, hallelujah. And he lists them right here. I mean, God's not confused about the matter. And if you'll sing and praise God and worship God right, correctly, then you'll remember his benefits.
Amen.
There are benefits to serving God.
Yeah.
Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Hallelujah. In your trial, he's the one you call on. In the trouble, he's the one that wraps his arms around you. Are you with me? He's your help and your hope and your strength. We bless him. That's who we praise. That's who we bless. You know, don't pick up, I mean it's a bad way, but it's just it is a perfect analogy. Some Christians have, in the world's terminology, what we call abusive wife syndrome. You know what I'm talking about? They think God is doing all this to them, and yet they thank him for it and keep going back to him. Listen, if I really thought God was doing all that, it's not in the Bible, one thing. It's not there. If God was the one that was just doing all the bad stuff and all the good stuff, what would there be to praise? What would there be to thank? And why would you even pray, period? What would be the point of prayer? There'd be no point in praying because God just might as soon kill you as he'd give you life. He might as soon make you sick as to heal you, depending on what mood he's in. But you know, it's all good. God's all good. All enough with that insanity. That's not biblical talk. That's not Bible talk. You see that in an abusive wife syndrome. Sometimes wives, they get beat by their husbands, they keep going back, and you think, my God, why does she keep going back to that? They're so codependent and thinking that they're at fault and thinking they're the victim, thinking they've provoked this husband to do this, that they stay in those situations. And many times when they get free of it, they go marry someone else that's just as bad as the last one. Are you with me? Listen, I do not believe in divorce. I don't believe it's the right thing to do. I don't believe that it's what God wants. There are cases, though, where it makes perfect sense. And man, I'm telling you, if I ever hear somebody beating on a woman, that's time to leave. It's time to leave and pray for that man. But not to endanger yourself, endanger your children, stay in that situation. That is not God, and it's not God's will you stay in that situation. Don't you try to justify that God is not that kind of husband to you. He is not that kind of father to you. And see, we don't keep going back to God because he keeps beating us up and helping us. We keep going back to him because he helps us and helps us and helps us and helps us. And he always does us good. Are you with me? He is a good God. And we bless him, and in blessing him, we forget not all of his benefits. Listen, life's full of tragedy, but it's not God. That's what keeps me going. That's what keeps me straight and keeps me sane.
Amen.
It's what keeps me very scriptural. It causes me to fit the scriptures together and understand this good God that we serve. We live in a fallen world, and a lot of what goes on is not God. The scripture tells us that. It defines it very, very succinctly. It tells us what the devil does. It tells us what God does. It tells us what we do. It tells us what happened because of sin. And God is good. Woo.
Glory to God.
Are you out there?
Amen.
I want to help you. I want to help you because you, it's sad. And I'm not mad or upset, but righteous indignation does rise up sometimes when I hear some preachers talk. And I are one. And we're pro-church and we're pro-preacher. We're not against churches. This is not a sermon against other churches. But sometimes you will hear in the pulpit that when you've had a loss or a tragedy, that God did it, that God had some purpose behind it, that God's behind every event. And the Bible is very plain. He is not behind every event. He does not do everything. He does good things, not bad things. Now, there is judgment. I understand judgment. And that's a valid thing, judgment. But, you know, even if judgment were taking place in your life, all God has done is take his hands off the situation, and you have left him and his hand and his blessing. At any point in time, if you repent and come back to him, you come back into blessing again. Over and over in the Bible, we see that. When people repent, they come back into blessing again. And they get back out of in sin, they would get back under that curse again. Okay. Psalms 103. Woo! Fifth verse. Satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. Think about the great deliverance there. Think about what all took place in the wilderness and him feeding them supernaturally with the manna from heaven and one time quail and water out of a rock. And deliverance after deliverance after deliverance. We often talk about the testing in the wilderness. Listen, they weren't tested in the sense that they were starved. Their shoes never wore out. Their clothes never wore out. They didn't have to go to Ross to get another pair of shoes. They didn't have to read the paper for sales because their clothes didn't wear out. Hallelujah, somebody. Every husband ought to say amen to that one. I mean, tested them and starved them. What do you get? He fed them every day supernaturally. Manna from heaven came out of heaven every day, and they picked it up and ate it. Water, they'd come where there was no water, no river, no pond, no sea, and the water would come out of a rock. I mean, that's testing. What he did, he tested them by proving to them that he was God and could meet their need in any situation. That's the kind of proving God does. He proves himself in our trial. How? By supplying. By bringing water out of rock, by bringing manna out of heaven, thus proving he's God and there's no situation he can't handle.
That's right.
Woo!
Amen.
So that's why he's saying his acts to the children of men, his ways to Moses. Moses understood how God operated. The children of Israel just experienced the acts, but they really didn't know how he operated. That's what Hebrews 3 talks about. That can happen to us sometimes in a city, a church city. If you're in a great church, it's really, you know, rolling and going, the anointing's there. You can get blessed by coming in and not really realize how it's being done. And so you can't really repeat it till you come back to church again. You need to get a hold of how God does it. That way you can repeat this thing when you leave here. See, it's one thing to experience what God's doing, but not know how he's doing it. And the way he does things is by faith. That's what the whole chapter of Hebrews 3 is talking about. It says they could not enter in because of unbelief. God was grieved because they erred in their heart. They erred because they would not believe. Believing is how God does things. Supernatural provision is what he does. Believing is how he does it. Moses knew the way he did it. The children of Israel only knew the acts. And so that's why they kept getting in trouble. And they would murmur. They would complain. They never would get in faith. They didn't understand how God was doing it. Make sense? So if you want a repeat, you want an encore of what God's doing, believe. That's what Elizabeth, by the Spirit of God, told Mary. Says, there shall be a performance of those things that were told you by the Lord because you believed. So if you want a performance of what God does, then you believe what God does. What are the things he does? We just listed them. We just talked about several of them. And he told us not to forget them. And in praising and worshiping him, we will be reminded of the fact that God is our answer, not our problem. He is our healing, not our sickness. He is our strength, not our weakness. He is our victory, not our defeat. Amen. He is our ally, not our foe. We have an adversary, the devil, who walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says resist him steadfast in faith. So we see here, as the psalmist is praising and worshiping, reminding himself of the goodness of God, says he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. Slow to anger, of course. If they sinned against him continually over and over and over, he would take his hands off them. And Israel is just a sad case of times of serving God and times of getting back in sin. And then we get back in bondage and they come back, serve God, get back under the power again, the blessing again. God's slow to anger, slow to lift his hand. He's merciful. At some point he has to lift his hand. If you continue in sin, you continue in rebellion. But you know, at any point you turn around, he's there to take you back again because his mercy endures forever. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in mercy. And boy, here's the good one right here. He would not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Isn't that great? I mean, there comes a time God has to stop. He can't continue to bless us because of our sin. But his mercy is so great that thank God he doesn't deal with us according to our iniquities. Amen. Amen. Like a father. You'll think of him as a father. Everybody has a father that has disciplined you and so on. They didn't break your legs. They didn't burn your house or blow up your car. Hello. Usually you lost some privileges. Isn't that true? And when you got back right again, you got those privileges again, didn't you? And it was your fault, wasn't God's. Thank you, Fred. I'm going to preach to Fred. Fred's listening. So he has not dealt with us according to our iniquities, nor punished us according to dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. This is the God we serve. This is the God we bless. Amen. This is the one that we don't forget his benefits. Amen. He's a father, the best father you'll ever have, the greatest father you'll ever have. If you had a great father or have a great father, thank God in the natural for that. But they're not even close to how good God is. If you ever had a father that was firm with you but compassionate and loving and always protected you and always loved you and always supplied your needs, you get an inkling of what God is. Just an inkling. Just a little bit of what God is. The very best father you could ever imagine is getting close to God, but still not there yet. Amen? This is the God we serve. What God would do the things that, or what father would do the things many times we accuse God of. That's what's appalling to God, that we'll make accusations against God and things will go wrong, we'll accuse God. That's not what the psalmist thanked God for. That's not what he blessed him for. That's not when people in the Bible would praise God. They'd praise him for deliverance. They'd praise him for goodness. They'd praise him for mercy. They'd call on him for help. They'd call on him when they got in those situations. Amen. And so we would never think that a father was good, and that's the best way I know how to. That's the example Jesus used. That's the example God uses throughout the Bible, like a father, like a husband, and so on. Can you imagine a father doing some of the things that we accuse God of and calling them good? You know what? They make the headlines when they lock them up. I mean, it becomes the headline news when they do some of the things we think God does to us. It's so criminal, so heinous, to use a big word. They even have that term, heinous crime. And we look at it, and we cannot believe anybody would be that bent and that so far gone and out of touch with the human race that they would do something like they did, serial murder and so on and so forth, and these things that go on. And yet, we'll back up and say, well, God had a purpose. Or God had a plan. Yeah, God had a plan. His plan was that shouldn't happen. Since it did happen, it wasn't his plan. He has a plan to help those that are still alive. But that wasn't God's plan. This is God's plan. Hello. You know, we have these thousands of, what is it now? I don't know what the count is, 20? I don't know. It's thousands of people killed over there. What used to be Burma in that flood, and they'll say, act of God? Oh, come on. God didn't do that. Or in China, the earthquake. And then you'll have preachers get up and say, well, God's judgment's coming on them for their sin. Or when in Florida, it happened in New Orleans, they'd say, well, you know, God did that because of Mardi Gras. Do you think that's the most ungodly city in the world? Do you think there are not Muslim nations that will kill you for talking about Jesus that aren't more, that need more judgment than, say, New Orleans? If God's doing that, then I think he has more to answer for, because there's a lot of people he's left off the list. Now, come on, I'm just being honest here. Let's just think it through. First of all, that's not the God we're serving. Secondly, it's very random. Because there are nations so wicked, so vile and corrupt that you can't mention the name of Jesus. They will lock you up, cut your head off, throw you in jail after you cut your head off. I don't know, they'll probably cut you in jail, then cut your head off. And they're still there. They're still there. Hello. Judgment's coming. No doubt about it. It's coming. It hadn't come yet, though. Hadn't come yet. There's a day coming. I mean, prophecy's plain. We know what's going to happen nation after nation. The Bible's plain. We have a book of Revelation. We have Ezekiel. We have Daniel that talks about judgment very specifically. It tells us specifically what nations are going to come to pass, what's going to happen in those nations. We know Jesus is coming back. We know all that's going to happen. But this random judgment, you know, they had this problem even in Jesus' day. The disciples would come to Jesus when somebody was born blind and says, Lord, who sinned, him or his parents? He said, neither one. Whoa. He talked about a tower that fell and 20 men were killed. Evidently, that was news back then. You didn't get the newspaper, Jerusalem Gazette, so you didn't get that. But if you lived during Jesus' time, you would have heard about a tower that fell and 20 men were killed. And Jesus said, he made this statement. He said, do you think those men were any more unrighteous than everybody else? He said, no. So it wasn't judgment, just a bad deal, just the world we live in. Are you with me? Wasn't God. Y'all still with me? See, I mean, this is, you read the Psalms, you get it straight.
Yeah,
read the Bible, you get it straight. You get your thinking straight.
Sure.
The more I read the Bible, the more I put the pieces together, the more I see God is good.
Amen.
And the devil's bad.
Right.
The more I see that God loves me and the devil hates me. The more I see that there's a heaven and I'm not there yet.
Amen.
The more I see God's perfect and I'm not. I'm born again.
Yeah.
Are you with me? I'm the righteousness of God. I'm working on some things. I can mess up. Hello. But God never messes up. He never, ever, ever misses it. Never. He's always good. He does not do bad to bring a good end. He does good, good, good.
Amen.
10th verse says, he has not dealt with us according to our iniquities or sins. He has not punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. Oh my. How awesome is that? As far as the east is from the west. I'm so glad he said east and west, not north and south. See, people think about the Bible being outdated, you know, and archaic, antiquated, to use a couple big words there. You know, out of touch with reality in the modern world that we live in. We know so much more about science and geography and you know, they didn't know what we know now. Well, I guess they did know something about east and west. They didn't say north and south. North has a stopping point, and so does south. You can only go south so far, and you hit the South Pole. You know what? You're going north. Yeah, think about it. In fact, if you built a house right on the South Pole, you would not have one side of your house facing east or west. Every one of them would be facing north. Now, you go chew on that one a while. I got you going now, don't I? Okay, but think about it. There's a stopping of south and north. There's South Pole and North Pole. But there's no East Pole and West Pole. You can head east and never stop heading east. You keep going east forever. It just circles and circles. And that's the point he's trying to make. As far as the east is from the west, they never meet. There is no meeting point. Well, they didn't know back then. See, they thought the world was flat. Well, if they thought the world was flat, they wouldn't have said that. Isaiah said God encircles the earth. They didn't think the world was flat. They obviously thought it was round. They knew what a circle was. They didn't think God was encircling the flatness of the earth. Amen? That's my science lesson for today. Okay. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Can you say hallelujah, somebody?
Amen.
My sins are gone. Quit bringing them back up. You ever prayed and you're thinking about something miserable and rotten you did 30 years ago or 20 years ago or 10 years ago or last year or last week? And you've already repented of it. You've already asked God to forgive you. And you feel all icky all over again. You ever had that happen? Oh, come on now. You know what I'm talking about. Almost the condemnation seems to come back on us again. That's the devil trying to put that back on you. God's removed that from you. If you've repented of it, it's gone. Let it go. Quit living in the past. Go forward. Amen. Start praising God that he's forgiven you of all your iniquities. As high as the heaven is from above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust, our life on this earth. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, it is gone. Its place is remembered no more, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. This goes on for generation after generation after generation. Listen, I'm not going to live forever down here. I'm going to live forever in heaven. And then on a new earth and a new heaven later. But God's mercy is eternal. So when I leave this place, if it so happens that I do before Jesus comes, if he does not come in my lifetime before I reach 120, then when I go up, God's mercy will still be here for my children and my children's children.
Amen.
Our time here is short. The older you get, the more you realize that. That time just goes by fast, fast, fast. It just flies by. But you know what? We're going to heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. We got a destination in mind. It never ends in that respect. It says, let me finish this up, 18th verse. To such as keep his covenant, to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Don't you ever give in to the devil. Don't you ever give in to sin. Don't you ever give in to the trial, the battle, the test. Don't ever give in. His is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen.
Amen.
You trust him. You keep his commandment. You call on him. He'll help you. He'll show up and show out. He'll deliver you. Amen. Bless the Lord. 20th verse, not enough to get y'all to bless him. He's going to get the angels to bless him. Everybody needs to get in on this. Amen. Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, hearkening or heeding the voice of his word. Man, I could have a camp meeting on that verse, but I got to go on. As you speak the word, as you preach the word, as you stand on the word, angels go off and move. You don't tell them what to do. God tells the angels what to do. You do not send an angel what to do. You do not command an angel what to do. But you do stand on his word. And when you voice his word, God sends the angels. That's protocol. That's just protocol. I know there was a teaching that we just tell the angels to do this, tell them to do that. Listen, angels appeared in the New Testament when they were saved and full of the Holy Ghost. When they showed up, nobody told them what to do. One showed up in Acts 12 when Peter was in prison. He kicked him inside and said, get up. And Peter didn't say, hey, I'm glad you're here. I got to send you around. I got some things I want you to do. He kicked Peter aside. Peter said, yes, sir. He got up and he followed that angel out of that prison. Angels do what they don't do what you say. They do what God says. But here's the deal. God will send them if you'll believe God. And they hearken to the voice of his word. When you voice the word, God dispatches them. And so, anyway, okay. Bless the Lord all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, which excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his host, you ministers of his who are his who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Amen.
Everybody say, bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Well, make it a habit. Make it a practice to bless God. For what? For all that he does. What does he do? Well, go back and read Psalms 103. And bless him for the things he does. Don't thank him for bad things. Thank him for deliverance. Thank him for victory. Thank you for healing. Thank him for forgiveness.
Amen.
Amen.